Brother James Fraser, I had the joy of being with him in Jamaica two trips ago, and we keep saying we're going to have to book another one of those. Enjoyed good fellowship together in serving the Lord there, and I've asked our brother to bring the word to us tonight, and so we're very happy. One of our elders in our congregation here, so our brother's going to bring the word to us tonight.
Thank you, Dr. Saunders, and let us turn in God's Word this evening to the Gospel according to John, chapter 18. The Gospel according to John, chapter 18, and we'll begin reading at verse 28 in the chapter. Now, this chapter, as you know, is the chapter where Jesus was arrested in the garden, and then we have Peter's denial, and then we come to the time when he's led into the judgment hall, in beginning at verse 28. So we'll read John chapter 18, we'll read from verse 28 to the end of the chapter. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him, and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus, and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. With our Bibles open, let us ask for God's blessing on us as we look into this portion of God's Word. O Lord our God, we stand in need of Thy mercy and Thy grace and Thy wisdom. And we pray, Lord, that as we have our Bibles open to this portion of Thy truth, we pray that our minds might be taken up with the things of God for a brief time, that thou wouldst take away wandering thoughts and carnal cares, and give us, we pray, that emphasis of focus on the word of the living God. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst write thy word upon our hearts, and free us, we pray, from our own righteousness, and give us, we pray, that righteousness that's ordered in all things and sure, even the righteousness of Jesus Christ, our Lord. We pray this in our Savior's precious name. Amen. Now I want to look this evening at words we find in verse 40 of the chapter that we read together. The words are found in that phrase that they cried, Not this man, but Barabbas. Not this man, but Barabbas. The mock trial of the Savior before Pilate is recorded for us in all four Gospels. We have, therefore, all the details that the Lord would have us to know about his experiences in the judgment hall of the Roman governor. And from those experiences, there is much to learn. One of the details pertains to the final stages of Pilate's involvement in Christ's trial when this man named Barabbas appears on the scene. Barabbas is mentioned in all four Gospels with a few details given about him, but his place in the story essentially revolves around the choice that the people had to make concerning the release of a prisoner. And as the divine record tells us, their choice was Barabbas. During Christ's trial before Pilate, we are told about a certain Jewish custom, namely that at the feast of the Passover, a prisoner was released as a reminder of what had happened when Israel was set free from Egypt. We don't know how long this custom had been in place, but it had no warrant from God. It was a human invention, a man-made custom. Then the Roman authorities had accommodated it. But in the minds of the Jews, it was seen as an acceptable solution and an acceptable addition to their Passover ritual, since at the original Passover, they'd been delivered out of Egypt, and they felt that it would be fitting that some imprisoned soul should have his liberty. And this custom was initiated and had been practiced year by year at the time of the Passover feast. And Pilate was aware of this Jewish custom. And in his dilemma concerning Christ and what he was going to do with Christ, because he knew he was innocent, and he says that for us, I find in him no fault at all. And that just shows the innocency of the Savior. But he thought that he had found a solution to the problem. He reminded the Jews of their custom of releasing a prisoner at the Passover, and he suggested to them that he should release Christ, as seen in verse 39. Ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? However, in the account in Matthew chapter 27, we have there Matthew's account of the same event. It tells us in verse 17 of Matthew 27 about a detail that the people were given the opportunity to make a choice between the two prisoners. And in Matthew 27 and verse 17, it tells us, therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? And in setting this choice before them, Pilate felt that he was on safe ground, believing that the people would certainly choose the innocent Christ and not the wicked Barabbas. But Pilate hadn't accounted for the pressure and the intimidation of the religious leaders and the pressure that they put on the people to choose Barabbas. In Mark's account, in Mark chapter 15 and verse 11, it says there, but the chief priests moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said again unto them, what will ye then that I should do unto him whom ye call the King of the Jews? And they cried out again, crucify him. This cry was, Pilate was realizing the pressure that confronted him. And when he asked, what am I going to do with Christ? The answer comes back loudly and persistently and repeatedly, crucify him, crucify him. You see, their choice is found in the words of our text, not this man, but Barabbas. And these words remind us that we're all making a choice right now. Every one of us that are meeting together are making a choice with regard to Christ Jesus. You see, it is your responsibility and duty to seek Christ, to depart from sin, and to believe in Jesus Christ. And to reject him, to reject Christ Jesus, and to choose Barabbas is to abandon all hope and to perish forever. And yet, here is the choice that they made, not this man, but Barabbas. Now, I want to look at their choice in three ways. I want to look, first of all, at the preference in their choice, and then I want to look at the parable in their choice, and then the punishment in their choice. So the preference in their choice, their cry was, not this man, but Barabbas. Now his name is a Hebrew name that has two parts to it, Bar, meaning son or son of, and Abba, meaning father. So Barabbas means son of the father. And we don't know who his father actually was, but he was certainly a man of a dark pedigree. We're told he was a murderer, thus he was of Satan. He was a son of his father, the devil. And in John chapter 8, we know that Jesus spoke about that in John chapter 8 and verse 44. When Jesus is saying unto them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came out of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? And then in verse 44, he says to them, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. So this man Barabbas had the pedigree of the world of darkness and sin. The pedigree of the wicked. He was of his father, the devil. And this is where you are found if you choose Barabbas. If you choose the Barabbas of the world, this is where you are found. What a terrible choice this is, to be associated with this man and the world of darkness and sin that he is the one who is representative of. You see, consider the other man, Christ Jesus. He's son of the Father, the one who came into the world to save sinners from their sin. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, that passage tells us that Christ came into the world as the Son of the Father, and yet you refuse him. And you prefer the lawless one, the devil, the godless, corrupt world that he deceives and dominates. You see, our text tells us that Barabbas was a robber. He was a murderer. He was a revolutionary. And this shows us the nature of this man. He was, we could say, the embodiment of evil. And in preferring him to Christ Jesus is revealed the heart of man by nature. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And if you are not in Christ Jesus, if you're not found in Christ Jesus, your love of darkness, your love of the things of darkness, your love of the world, your love of the corruption, your love of running with the crowd that loves sin and corruption of every kind, what are you doing? You're revealing your own corrupt, wicked heart. What a revelation that you're not a child of God, that you stand in desperate need of the new birth. You prefer the Barabbas of corrupt music, of ungodly videos, of the filth that's found in the web, and all that pollutes your mind with all these immoral pleasures. You love the world and the company of the ungodly. And what are you doing? You're unveiling the state of your heart that you're not in Christ. You see, by making this choice, you reject the only one who came to forgive, to cleanse, and to justify, and to make sinners holy. See, this is the tragedy of this choice. Because by choosing the things of the world and by choosing the Barabbas of the world, You abandon all hope. You give up all possibility of being in glory. Now, secondly, I want to consider the parable in their choice. They cried, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now, see the outcome of this choice. In Matthew chapter 27, in Matthew's account, you will note there in verse 26, it tells us, "Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified." When he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. See, the outcome is this. Barabbas was released, but Christ was scourged and delivered to be crucified and die. And in this is a clear gospel parable that the guilty one was set free and a substitute takes his place. You see, in this act of liberating the guilty prisoner and binding and scourging the substitute, there's a parable of the way of salvation for lost, hopeless sinners. The sinner is released, and the sinless one is condemned. And Barabbas is a picture of sinners. He's a picture of all men without Christ. He was a robber, and you have robbed God of his glory through lawless disobedience. He was a traitor in plotting and planning insurrection against his rulers, and you have rebelled against the government of God and are guilty of rebellion and treason against God's holy law. So are all men, women, if hatred. You see, he was a murderer, and all men and women are murderers if hatred is found in their heart. In that passage in Matthew 5, Christ says that if you have hatred, you're a murderer. Also in 1 John chapter 3:15, those who are haters are murderers. But the message of the gospel is that sinners such as this sinful, wicked Barabbas can go free because the sinless Savior died. The hymn writer says, "Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free." You see, sinners can only be saved by the work of a pure, spotless, sinless Christ being taken to suffer the wrath of a sin-hating God. There is no other way of salvation. There is no other hope for sinners apart from the perfect work of Christ Jesus, our Lord. You see, here is Christ Jesus taking Barabbas' place, and we see something of the substitutionary role that Christ Jesus takes. Barabbas lives, but Christ dies. Barabbas is set free, but Christ is counted guilty and condemned. For Barabbas to be set free meant that he was pardoned and acquitted of all of his crime and evil. He was no longer regarded as guilty. But Christ is regarded as guilty and walks to Calvary as a guilty condemned for the sins of his people, and many of them just like Barabbas. There's that beautiful passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. "He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." You see, it isn't enough for you to have your sins forgiven. It isn't enough for you to have your sins washed away. You need something more. You need the spotless righteousness of Christ Jesus. Because Christ Jesus was not only made sin for us, but he has given us his righteousness. You think of the thief who was crucified with Christ. And what was he able to say? Christ was able to tell him when he cried, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Christ was able to say to him, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Now, how was that possible if Christ Jesus wasn't God? Here he is on earth. Here he is nailed to the accursed tree. And yet Christ was able to say to him, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." You think of the murderer like Manasseh, who made the streets of Jerusalem run with the blood of the saints, and yet Manasseh was forgiven. You think of Saul of Tarsus. You think of Saul, who was a hater and was out to not only imprison but to kill when Stephen was killed. Who was the one that was standing right there to receive the clothes of Stephen? And yet Saul was able to say, "He loved me and gave himself for me." And the question is, can you say that? Can you say that in your spirit? "He loved me and gave himself for me." You see, Christ Jesus, in dying on Calvary's cross, is there not only to save his people, but he's there to save them as individuals, because he knows each one of us. He knows your heart. He knows the details of your life. And he's able to say, can you say with the apostle, "He loved me and gave himself for me"? And you think of the adulterer like David. David, there he was, committing adultery with the granddaughter of his closest advisor. And you think about that. I mean, there's his closest advisor, Ahithophel. And Ahithophel was right there with David and knew everything that was going on. And here's David having an affair with his granddaughter, Uriah's wife. And you know what David did. He tried to cover it. He told Joab, "Well, you put him in the hottest part of the battle. You put him right up at the wall." Uriah dies in the battle. Tell you, when the prophet came, what did the prophet say to him? He told him the parable, and he was able to say to him, "Thou art the man." You see, David in Psalm 51, you go to Psalm 51 and read that penitential psalm. And what is he able to realize? Even though he had ruined families, killed people, the child had died, all these things, and the people of God were being made a curse and the world was mocking and laughing, David was able to say, "Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be clear when thou judgest." You see, sin is against a holy God. And you and I need to deal with our sin. There's only one way. There's only one way. If you choose the Barabbas of the world, you are abandoning all hope for your salvation. You're abandoning all hope for eternity. You see, because the sinless Savior died, a guilty sinner like David is able to go free because Christ is his substitute. I love that passage in Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, one of the mountain peaks of Scripture, in verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." That's Christ Jesus. That's the Lord. And it's not a light thing that's being spoken of here. This is the Lord smiting with power his servant. This is the Lord smiting him. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24, it tells us who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. You see, Christ Jesus is there bearing the sins of his people as individuals. He's bearing your sin. What a wonder of God's free grace. And the question is, why do you refuse the offer of mercy and pardon in Christ Jesus? Why do you continually refuse? You've heard it before. You've heard it many times. Why do you continually refuse the offer of mercy in Christ and choose Barabbas? Now, thirdly, the punishment in their choice. They chose Barabbas, and they brought down on themselves the wrath of God. I want to read a passage to you from Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27, and I'll read from verse 21. The governor answered and said unto them, "Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you?" They said, "Barabbas." Pilate saith unto them, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" They all say unto him, "Let him be crucified." And the governor said, "Why, what evil hath he done?" But they cried out the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it." And then there's this statement in verse 25. Then answered all the people and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." His blood be on us and on our children. These words are some of the most fearful words in Scripture. You see, their decision and their choice of Barabbas was a deliberate, willful choice. They were aware. They were fully aware of the awful consequences of their choice. This cry, "His blood be on us and on our children," came back to haunt them in their terrible overthrow years later. These are the very people that Christ Jesus was weeping over when he was weeping over Jerusalem in Luke 19. And verse 41, "And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation." You see, here is the Savior in their midst. Here is the King of glory in their midst. And they choose Barabbas. They choose the world and the sin and the flesh and the devil. And if you choose Barabbas, you will bring down the awful wrath of God on your soul and the souls of your children and the souls of your family and the souls of those you influence. Sinner, listen to the warning of Christ. The warning of Christ as found in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13. And in Matthew 7, he's saying there, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." And Christ is warning us, and he's warning you tonight to flee from the wrath to come. And he's saying, Forget Broadway. Forget the Broadway of the world. Forget the Broadway of Barabbas and the sinful world of pleasure and wickedness, and look to Christ Jesus, the only way, that straight and narrow way that leads to life, the only way that leads to life. Because without Christ, you abandon all hope for yourself. You see, the broad way leads to destruction. And what is it? It's the crowd. It's the crowd. It's that whole mob crying, "Not this man, but Barabbas." And are you going to stand against the crowd and against the current of this present evil world and stand for Christ Jesus? Are you going to stand against that tide that influences your mind? There's a beautiful passage in Philippians chapter 2. And it tells us there in verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." You see, you need to have your mind and your thinking renewed by the power of the gospel and by the power of Christ Jesus, so that you are thinking godly thoughts. So that you're thinking right in accordance with Scripture. Turn from your life of sin and escape the wrath that is to come. Choose Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior and reject the Barabbas of the world. May God bless His Word to our never-dying souls. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we pray that each one of us gathered in tonight may know that peace of choosing Christ Jesus, may know what it is to have Him as our substitute, that we would escape the wrath that is to come. Lord, we pray that there would be none of our midst who would be choosing the Barabbas of the world, who would go on in choosing the Barabbas of this present evil world. We pray that Thou wouldst give us that faith that we stand in need of, to believe Thy word, to lay hold upon the gospel as it's found in Thy precious word. We pray, Lord, that Thou wouldst give to us that wisdom from Thyself to be living our lives with a singleness of eye to Thy glory. We pray that Thou wouldst part us in Thy fear, and with Thy blessing upon us, we pray this in our Savior's precious name. Amen.